Patrick, mettila in mezzo Patrick, palla nostra, Suso, tira Alessio, Suso, tira, perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli! Il gol del capitano ancora l'ultimo, come Gilardino!
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm going to be your host this week, Anthony Torgrud. Usual host Oliver Fisher is out today. We had some rescheduling we had to do, shuffling around, and so we're short a guy, but no worries. You could follow me on Twitter at Torgrud45, and I got the co-host with us today, Madison.
Yeah, you guys can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Madison_DT.
Yeah, so real quick before we get started, we're planning on a guest. Madison, why don't you go ahead and tell us a bit more about that and what happened here?
Yeah, we have to reschedule our guest again. We were supposed to be recording on Sunday while I was at work, but I had some meetings come up. So unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do that. I hope we can get him on as we keep on pushing back. The ICC gets closer and closer, so we will see what happens. But we have another guest coming on later this summer that I'm personally very excited about, and I bet a lot of our listeners will be just as excited.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to be having some big names come on. That way we could, you know, keep the podcast spicy, keep it exciting during the off season when really all we have to talk about is transfers and preseason. Mm-hmm. So it'll be nice to have those other people come on with other views and be able to explain some things to us that we're not too savvy on. So definitely exciting times ahead. Also, this episode is brought to you by Euro Fantasy League. Definitely check them out. Obviously, we don't have a league going right now because it's off season, but now's the perfect time to start looking at it and see what you want to do when you could get in next season and join us there, and you'll be able to find out more on our Twitter page. All right, so first topic to discuss here. We're going to kind of wing this one because we're a little all over the place, but we got a lot of links to new players, a lot of rumors. One that came out today was Dani Ceballos of Real Madrid. We were linked earlier with him, earlier in the year. I believe it was January, not last summer. A good move, you know, with Bakayoko. Doesn't sound like he's going to return with the rest of the players leaving. Bertolacci, Mauri, Montolivo. We obviously are in need for some midfield replacements and reinforcements. We brought in Krunic from Empoli, you know, on a really shrewd deal, 6 million plus bonuses. I believe it was equal to 8 million euros. So good deal for him. He was involved in like 12 goals from the midfield last season for a relegated side. That's pretty massive. But now we got these other people coming up. Dani Ceballos, Veretout, Torreira from Arsenal, and there was a few others, Sensi from Sassuolo, and there's another one, there's been so many I can't remember, but let's talk about those guys just because that's who we mentioned. What are your thoughts on any of them?
First, I want to state how I'm excited because it's nice being linked with players who are not necessarily superstars, but are young enough that we can develop them into very strong players. I feel like in the past couple of seasons, we've just been chasing these giant names. And they've flopped a little bit. And so, you know, Higuain, Bonucci, they weren't happy. They wanted to leave after one season. You know, when you bring in those players to groom the younger players, and when they aren't happy and they want to leave, these younger players are getting older and older, and eventually they have to stop being groomed and start grooming other players. Granted, the core of our team is still very young. but I'm excited. We need a stronger midfield. I feel like our midfield was the weakest point this season, and our most inconsistent because of suspensions, injuries, debacles within the team. So Dani Ceballos, I like him. He plays for Real Madrid. He knows how to win. Good right-footed midfielder. I would like him. I think we can probably get him on a deal. Real Madrid is going through kind of like a revamp here, and we have a good working relationship with Real Madrid in the past, at least the Berlusconi era did. And I would like to believe that we can continue to have that relationship. And Gazidis is all about making deals. He made deals with Arsenal. You know, got players cheap, sold them expensive. And I think that this would be one of those players. So that's what I think about him. Sensi, I going to be honest, I do not know much about him. I don't watch much other Serie A other than AC Milan. I probably shouldn't admit that, but
I'm sure you're not the only one, so that's okay.
Yeah, right.
No, that's a really good point you mentioned, actually, about our relationship with Real Madrid and where they're currently at right now. You know, obviously, there's that infamous story of Florentino reaching out to Galliani about Sonny Maldini back in the day, and Maldini's dad just giving him that stern look and shutting him down instantly there. Obviously, he's a fan of Maldini, and Maldini is
United as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Oh, you're right. It was Sir Alex Ferguson who did that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his dad was just like, my son is AC Milan.
Exactly.
He won't play for you.
Yeah. So, I mean,
you won't even be able to talk to him.
Maldini as a, you know, the guy that does the negotiating now might actually really help. He's from that other regime, that other era. So mm-hmm. I think you're right with the relationship there. And like you said, they're going through a revamp phase. I believe they spent just shy of 300 million euros in the last 3 or 4 weeks, which is absolutely absurd.
Absurd.
But clearly they're going to need to sell someone. You know, they can't keep everyone. And I would foresee some people going. It sounds like Ceballos is one of them. It's not the first window he's been linked with the move away. And if we could get him for 30 million, that's, you know, I believe less than what our buyout on Bakayoko was. So I would be good with that. And I think we could even get him less than 30 million. That would be great also. I think there's a few other players from Real Madrid that are possible to look at, you know. We're obviously going to be switching away from a winger formation, it sounds like. So Bale wouldn't make sense for us, but any other club that needs a winger, that's a steal. He's going to be leaving on the cheap, I'm sure. I would imagine 50 to 60 million euros for him, honestly, with just the way his performance has gone there. So I think that would be huge. As far as Sensi goes, I'm not really a big fan either. I don't watch a whole lot of Sassuolo games, but definitely enough to where I don't have a positive opinion on really any of their players. Berardi would be the only one I like, and again, we're not using wingers anymore.
I mean, I like Locatelli still.
See, I was never big on Locatelli, even when he was with us, but that's just me. I personally think obviously there was management issues, but I think it's silly to not redeem Bakayoko if we're looking for midfielders in that price range. If we're saying that buyout is now too high because we missed Champions League, then so be it. But we're talking about, you know, Lucas Torreira for 40 to 50 million euros, Danny Ceballos for 30. So it makes no sense to me when we had a guy who was proven, especially given that Gattuso is left and Leonardo's left. So I don't know. I mean, what are your thoughts? Would you still like to redeem Bakayoko, or do you think that ship has sailed and you're over it?
I think that ship has sailed. It sounds like he did not have a very good working relationship with the management team. As a player and his playing style, I would love to sign a player like that. But you said something interesting to us earlier about how we had agreed on a release clause for his loan, but yet all of the midfielders that we're going after, no one is that expensive. And it kind of gives me the idea that we're not looking to spend big money on one certain player rather than build depth with a lot of players. And you can argue both sides of it. But something that I have been preaching for the past, I don't know, 2 years since I've been talking to you guys, because I have no one else to talk to AC Milan about. But the reason that we are not progressing is because every summer we sell players in order to buy players, but we're buying players. We're buying either less players than we're selling. We're selling more than we're buying, or we're buying the amount that we're selling. And so we're never creating that depth that you need to create a cup run in, you know, the Coppa Italia, Serie A, Europa League, Champions League, whatever it is. Cause this team would not have been able to compete in three competitions next year if we made Champions League. Every December we are going through an injury crisis, and it is because we do not have depth. So I like seeing these midfielders for, you know, 10, 15, 25 million dollars or million euros, pounds, however much they are, because it just kind of creates depth and backup and competition rather than, you know, you either have Bakayoko or Montolivo. Bakayoko's injured, and you don't play Montolivo. You're playing Biglia, who is a sheet of glass, and every time he gets touched, he twists his knee, tears an ACL, whatever happened, you know? So, I totally forgot what you asked me, but...
No, I think you're spot on with that, though. I fully agree with you. You know, you're right. Every time it's time to add some of that depth like we've been begging for the last four or five seasons now, we'll sell three people and buy two, or we'll sell three and buy one, you know? And you're right, we're losing players, or we're replacing them with the same amount. And not only does that kind of hurt chemistry, you know, getting rid of those bonds, but we don't add any depth to us. And so even now, if we have three strong midfielders and we're in three competitions, they still can't play all three of them. You know, we need six midfielders to rotate that. Makes perfect sense. And I agree with you. I think if we're going to sign a bunch, you know, like you said, the 10, 15 million euro, obviously that's either a hidden gem talent or an aging veteran who was at the top of his game and has a couple years left, you know, or something along those lines that build that depth and provide other aspects to the team, and getting a bunch of them so that we're not just replacing the three or four people leaving, we're replacing them and then adding on top of that as well. And like you mentioned earlier, the last couple of seasons, we've gone for a big star, whether it was Bonucci or Higuain. Maybe this summer we do a different approach and we sign kind of like how the Chinese did when they brought in 11 new players. No one was really big, obviously Bonucci. But all those smaller players that were just kind of pieces of it, and some of them never quite became starters, and that's okay. Not everyone's going to be. But maybe that's the style transfer window that we have this summer, and we just get a bunch of reinforcements to where we could go maybe far in the Europa League or challenge for that Coppa Italia without dropping in the league. You know, it's things that we've been struggling with lately, and I think that's a really wise thing to do for us, would be to continue with that and hopefully just get more players is ultimately what we need. You know, you could improve the quality, but if you don't improve the quantity also, you're not going to be able to be fit for the whole season, keep getting injuries like you said. Moving on real quick, Giampaolo still has not been announced. When do you think that's going to happen? That was supposed to be today, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we heard last Friday or Saturday, and then he was just released from Sampdoria. So hopefully soon. It has to be soon. It sounds like everyone's working together as like already as a unit. So I'm not worried about it. I don't think anything's going to fall through. But the management team is in place finally. They finally announced that. So next, you know.
It's got to be coming up soon. Massaro hasn't been announced yet either, correct? It's just been Maldini and Boban. We technically still don't have a sporting director.
Correct. In fact, I saw an interesting thing on Twitter today. It wasn't official, but it was like the map of the management team. And it shows Scaroni. That's like the CEO, right? That's how you...
He's the president. Gazidis is CEO.
So it's him. Then underneath him is Maldini. Then level with Maldini is Gazidis. So all this time I've been thinking that Maldini is underneath Gazidis, but Maldini is equal.
Yeah, I've always thought Maldini was below him too. In my mind, it was Scaroni was president. Underneath him, Gazidis CEO. Underneath that was technical director Maldini. So that the graph you saw had technical director equal with CEO.
Yeah, I love technical director Maldini. It just sounds great. Yeah. Technical director Maldini.
It does make sense if you know, separate. Obviously, CEO is more the business side and the technical director is the more sporting side. So that does make sense to me that they would be, you know, equal position on different sides of the business. That's cool. I like that. Did you see the source on that? Do you know if it was reliable?
No, I think it was just some... scrolling through Twitter to see if I can find it, but once you see something, you can never see it again.
All right, of course, yeah. Things get lost quick. Let's see here. So, like we said, we were supposed to have a guest on here. We're kind of just scrambling together, if you can't tell. We didn't have time to ask for listener questions, so I apologize. This is a very all-over-the-place episode, but that's okay. Sometimes it's fun. I'm looking at stuff right now. just off the site that we could talk about. And one of the things I saw was Conte was attracting some interest from an unnamed Premier League club. It doesn't state who was interested in him, but I thought that was interesting that we weren't looking to sell him. In fact, we said no, and that he's a part of Jim Paolo's plans.
Which is extremely discouraging.
Yeah, I think we should get rid of him. I think if someone wants him, this is a great time to do it. Obviously, we just talked about how we need to replace and replenish, but I wouldn't mind just straight replacing him. I know we've been interested in some other players.
Right.
I think Conte was a failed experiment. You know, we spent money on him with high hopes, and it backfired.
Yeah. He was a great player, and I'm pretty sure we bought him when he was injured. And with hopes that he was going to, get healthy.
Yeah, there was something going on that was preventing us from buying. Because he was supposed to be like the second announcement of that summer of 11 or 12 players. And ended up being like the 9th or 10th. And I can't remember what it was. But you're right, there was something that was going on there. Because when he came in, he was like the defensive player of the year, the season prior at Atalanta.
Yeah.
And then I just have the article up here that we wrote about it this morning. And it says Conte was injured in September of 2017. And he missed the rest of that season. He technically got healthy in time for international duty and got called up somehow and then re-injured. So he didn't make an appearance. But then he missed the rest of that season. And then didn't come back to fitness until December of last year. But we obviously didn't start him. He only played 15 appearances for the club, and I think 12 or 13 of those were off the bench. So it is a very interesting case. And even though he had a couple assists in that, I did not like how he played anymore. It seemed like he was too eager to go forward, and it was really messing up with the overall form of the squad. It was pushing Suso central, who, as we all know, struggles out of his right-wing spot. Which is why I personally think we should just sell Suso as well, and that'll fund a good amount of our market, more so than selling any of the other players, you know?
To me, it looked like he was scared to give 100%, because he was scared to get injured again.
Yeah, definitely. And, I can see that, you know, for sure.
And you can kind of tell when players are not giving their 100%. So it was just kind of interesting to see that, because Biglia was kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's interesting with Biglia, and it is kind of the similar concept with Conte, actually. Although Biglia actually got to play some games, but Biglia came in as our like star midfielder. You know, he was co-captain. The Chinese said to Benucci. He was supposed to lead our midfield defensively, and he did, and then he got injured, and Bakayoko stepped up, and then when Biglia returned from injury, Bakayoko stayed. So you're right, he kind of lost that starting spot, and it was almost like he knew that he wasn't going to start again when he did play, because he never put in a good performance. And similar to Conte, you know, we bought him with the idea of being our starting right back, then he got injured, and Calabria became that starting right back, and when Conte was healthy, we weren't going to just let him take that spot, and it showed when he played. It was never great performances. He obviously had a couple, but not too much, and I think that's a really interesting assessment that you made there. How many other players do you think have been just affected by that, you know, is having someone take their spot, and then instead of stepping up and competing to get it back, they just kind of fizzle out?
Caldara.
Yeah, well, he hasn't even
he was never
had a chance to come able, back yet.
Well, he has, but he got injured again. That's I'm worried that Bonaventura is going to be one of those. Cutrone, in a way.
Cutrone has actually been, not even because of injury, he's just been replaced. And we'll see what happens. You know, next season, obviously, having two strikers, he could pop up and become a force to be reckoned with. But yeah, he didn't, you know, off the bench, when it was him coming off the bench over Kalinic, he was doing well, scoring goals, making chances. But for Piontek, he wasn't horrible. Doing too great. Say that again?
Because Callum Mitch was horrible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he knew he could pass in there. And I think he did kind of settle down a little bit with Piontek coming in. Who had you talked about just before that you mentioned? Oh, Bonaventura. Yeah, he definitely might not come back the same. You know, obviously, serious long-term injury. But all the predicted lineups, that's what I was trying to say, that we've been seeing here for next season, none of them include him. And it's almost like people just forgot.
That's because I think people forgot about him. I never look at predicted lineups on Twitter. Cause it's just people thinking that they know what they're talking about, when in reality, we're all just fans and none of us have any sort of insight to what the team's going to look like.
Right.
And it's because everyone's forgetting about Bonaventura. I guarantee you he's going to score a goal in his first couple of games and everyone's going to be all over him again.
And love him, I mean, you know, he's got his diehard fans that are mean to me on Twitter because I'm not a fan of Bonaventura, but that's okay.
You're not?
I'm a fan. Obviously, I like him and I support him, but I just think he's overhyped by our fan base. I don't think he's as good as we think he is. And I think...
Man, I love him. He's amazing.
I just think there's better options for us.
Listen, he was our banter era hero.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. But I don't think he was... If he were to have signed for us in like the golden age, he would never have played. I don't think
90% of the players in world football today wouldn't have played.
Okay, fair enough. But like maybe not our golden age, but like the early 2000s, you know, when we still had a good team, but we're coming down.
So what do you think about Berlusconi and Galliani's?
So as I wrote that up for the site this morning, and the whole time I'm just shaking my head, rolling my eyes. Those guys are delusional. I mean, it may be true. There's always the possibility that everything they said was completely true. But then it's like, well, why'd they go different? You know, Galliani's claiming that he chose Gianpaolo to be our manager in 2016 when they were working with the Chinese consortium because they were going to take over. And the Chinese wanted Montella instead, so Galliani went with Montella. I don't believe him. It just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, if the Chinese weren't in any control at the time, we were working with them. Galliani had control to make that decision, and he went with Montella. Berlusconi famously passed up on Sarri in 2015 because he wore a tracksuit and smoked cigarettes. He wanted a guy that wore a nice suit, you know? And Gianpaolo wears a tracksuit also, and Montella wears a suit. So it makes perfect sense to me that they just went with Montella. And now they're saying this stuff, and Berlusconi was saying, you know, he talked to Scaroni and recommended Gianpaolo, and he believes that's why they're going with it. So they're just trying to take credit for it now. And it's funny because Gianpaolo hasn't even been announced. If, say, he flops, are they still going to take credit? Are they going to criticize him? Are they going to say they would have went with someone else? You know, their story changes all the time. And I appreciate Galliani and Berlusconi's love for the club, and that Galliani's in the stands all the time. But really, it's like, you left the club, you're not a part of it anymore. Just leave your bullshit aside, you know? I mean, they never have anything positive to say unless it's a way they could spin it about themselves. And it's upsetting. It's frustrating as a fan, but we owe them a lot, so we give them
They're just an old boys club who don't want to let go of the past.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's all it is.
Yeah, definitely. And don't get me wrong, everything that Berlusconi said about how Gianpaolo plays, I totally agree with. I've said multiple times that my two favorite formations are the 4-3-1-2 that Berlusconi was obsessed with, that Gianpaolo's going to switch to, and the 4-3-3, but with a attacking midfielder instead of a defensive midfielder that we never used. Those are my two favorite formations. So I'm all for the change. I like it, but I really doubt Berlusconi had called up Scaroni and said, hey, you need to sign this guy as your coach. And Scaroni said, you're right, Mr. Just ran this club into the grave, you know? Like, I wouldn't take his advice. There's just no way.
Right.
And then he went on to criticize Gattuso, which, fair play, we've all done plenty of. But it was Berlusconi who started the trend of appointing old former stars at Milan that have no proven record that haven't done good. So I don't buy what he's feeding us at all.
It's just kind of funny to listen to them just because they are like old delusional people, you know, and they like to think that they're still relevant in the eyes of the fans, where we all respect what they did. But your time's over.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. They're gone. I'm just going to change the subject real quick because this just came out. A attacking midfielder we are now linked with, which is awesome because we were just talking about that. From PSV, Gaston Pereiro. Yeah.
Pereiro?
You know, we got the two worst guys on the podcast today for pronouncing a new person's name, but
leave it to the Americans.
Right. Since contact's been made, this is on DiMarzo's show tonight, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he's valued at 20 million. I don't ever watch the Dutch league. I'm not even going to try and pronounce how they call their league, but I don't ever watch the Dutch league. I didn't even watch Ajax. I only watched him in the Champions League, so I don't know anything about him. One of our writers is saying he did pretty solid, that he had 10 goals, 6 assists this season, which is pretty massive, honestly, for any midfielder. He's 24 years old from Uruguay. Do you know anything? Do you have any thoughts?
I love Uruguayan players. I think that they're creative. I think that they're strong. And you cannot go wrong with buying a 24-year-old Uruguayan player for 20 million. The Dutch league is not the easiest league to play in. It's a very tactical league. I do like to watch it sometimes. I don't have all the free time in the world, so if it's on and my girlfriend lets me, I will watch some of it. So it's actually on ESPN Plus. If you didn't know that, now you do know that. So I do watch Ajax occasionally. And I believe that Ajax PSV is a pretty big derby, so I do watch that. Regardless, back to him. He's good. He's creative. He's strong. He's big. He's 1.8 meters. I think that's big.
I was going to say, that means jack shit to me. No, yeah, I'm pretty sure a meter's like 3 feet. So 1.8, I would say that's just shy of 6 feet tall. So that's probably like our height, like 5'10-ish. Not to put us on the spot there, but
he needs to grow a little bit.
Right.
but yeah, I mean, I do like 1 meter is 3.2 feet, so
okay,
he's so over 6 feet tall.
Okay,
he's probably, you know, Suarez, Cavani, all Uruguayan, you know,
yeah,
Laxalt. Maybe he can team up with Laxalt. I've been seeing on Twitter that people want to get rid of him. I don't know why. He's great depth to have. He's pacey. He's good on the ball. He's good at stealing the ball. Where I work for a logistics company in Ann Arbor. And one of the building management guys is from Uruguay. And so I was talking to him about it. He made fun of how I said his name. The first thing he did was that. And then he said, watch him steal the ball. And legit, in Laxalt's first game, he stole the ball, and I was just like, holy shit, Marcelo knew what he was talking about, you know? and so I don't want to steal him. I think I like that, you know, Danny Caballo is Spanish. Hopefully we don't get rid of Suso so we can build some chemistry there. If we get Gaston from PSV and keep Laxalt, we have some Uruguayans. Like, that's good chemistry to build within the team. Mm-hmm. And that's how you can build a quality team. I know it seems kind of silly, but that's how, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I hate to draw any comparisons to FIFA with how terrible that game is, but
dude, I was trying to stay away from Ultimate Team so much there, but you just brought it up.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is because you mentioned chemistry, and that's one of the things that they focus on, chemistry is having two guys from the same nation, and it obviously does help. They have that nationality, that being compatriots, mm-hmm. and it obviously boosts it. You know, you see how well these players mesh on national teams without ever really playing together. You know, they do it maybe 10 times, a handful of times a year, but they have got a good chemistry because they're from the same place. They have the same experiences growing up, and it does make a big difference. I mean, you could say that South Americans all speak Spanish. It doesn't matter what country they come from. I mean, obviously there's a few that don't, Brazil and Portuguese and all that, but for the most part, it does make a big difference. Just because everyone's speaking Spanish or English or Italian or whatever, it doesn't do the same for you as if it's your native dialect from where you're from, your country. And so it does make it a huge difference for chemistry and morale boost. You know, Laxalt's not by himself because there's people that he can interact with, but he is by himself in the sense that no one else really has that Uruguayan understanding of the way Uruguay works. So bringing in another one instantly gives him a boost, more motivation to do better at practice, and can make him a better player because of it. So I'm all for it. You know, we obviously need another Triquartista. We only have Paqueta and then Çalhanoğlu and Bonaventura could swap in there, but I think they're going to be that left center mid position more than anything. So we're going to need a backup. Paqueta can't play every game of all three competitions all season long. You know,
right.
We need someone there. So whether it's him or otherwise, I personally wanted us to go for James Rodriguez just because I saw his release or his buyout that Bayern had on his loan was 30 million. It was either 30 or 40. I can't remember. But regardless, for a player his caliber, James Rodriguez.
Yeah, I would love him. But the thing is, I think he's going to demand too much game time. And what I like about Gaston is because the Dutch league is such a tactical league, I think he would bring a lot to our midfield. Yeah. Playing up in that backup role to Paqueta.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually.
You know?
All right, and bring him in. I'm sold.
Perfect. you know, and James is good, but he, honestly, he was sold on his wonder goal in the World Cup.
Oh, 100%. You know? 100%. And sold for that one game.
Right. And so, I mean, don't get me wrong. He's a great player. He's a good midfielder, but with our team and the state that it's in, you don't want to bring in a superstar with that heavy of a personality. Because right now, from an outsider's perspective, we have some humble players who are hungry to succeed. And James has tasted glory. And when you bring in a player like that to the mix, it can either be a positive reinforcement and kind of help the players feel that hunger, where there can be animosity and jealousy, and he can just be a total jerk. You know, it can come off that way. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of players out there who are successful and go to these, not that we are a small team, but currently we are not a very good team. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's a sad way to end your statement there. Bum me out, but it's okay.
Yeah. I didn't know where else to go with that.
No, you're good. So another thing that came out, just to continue with this, because DiMarzio's show is actually going on as we're recording this, so we're getting news as we're talking here. But one thing that we did know earlier today was that Veretout's agent was at Casa Milan.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know exactly what that meeting was about because he's the agent of multiple people, Conti, Mauro Rui, Veretout, and some others. So we weren't really sure who it was for. But DiMarzio was confirmed that it was for Veretout, which would be, in my opinion, a solid midfield signing. I wanted him in January, but he's saying Roma's leading the race, so we might miss out on that, which is a bummer. I think he's a solid player. Do you think we sell Kessié, find someone to start over him, or what do you think we're going to do with Kessié?
Kessié is a fucking workhorse. You do not sell him. He is the heart of our midfield. Without Kessié and Bakayoko last season, we were dog shit. And without Bakayoko this season, whoever has that spot to fill, I mean, we're going to be playing a 4-3-1-2, so it's going to be a little bit different. But no, you don't sell Kessié. He works way too hard to get rid of him. Maybe if you bring in multiple players this season and players identify themselves as being able to fill his shoes, then you can start to find a replacement, but and sell and then gamble on it then. But without the players and knowing how they're going to play in the league first, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I think he obviously has his weakness, which is going forward in attack. But overall, he's probably our best center mid. Not like a creative player like Bonaventure or Çalhanoğlu or Paqueta, but definitely he has the strength and the passing ability to move up the pitch and get the ball around. But the only reason I even bring it up is just because we're looking to do a midfield revolution. So are we only signing depth players, or are we looking for someone to start over who we have? You know, obviously we need a defensive midfielder for a 4-3-1-2. And then, so the way I have it in my head right now is we'll have Kessié, obviously, on the right side there, and either Bonaventure or Çalhanoğlu on the left side. And then we got to buy someone for the center. But we're linked with so many midfielders right now. Is this just us kind of playing the water, seeing who's available, what we could do? Or are we looking to bring in just a ton of midfielders right now?
I think a little bit of both. I think the last time that we did bring in a ton of players, it completely backfired and we got screwed over. So I don't think that we're going to do that this time. I think that we have a better management team in place, but I don't know how the team is going to line up because, you know, you only have three midfield spots because Paqueta is a solid starter in the attacking midfielding role. And you have Bonaventura and Çalhanoğlu on the left, like you said. And who do you start? Çalhanoğlu has been crucial to this season. People may complain about that when they listen to this, but he created the second most chances in the last five seasons this season. And Suso created the first amount. So, like, that's saying something about his game. And we need him. But we also need Bonaventura, but we need Kessié in the center. Can Bonaventura play on the right? I don't think he can. I don't think he has.
Yeah, we haven't seen it. I don't know how he would do. He might be able to. I'm sure he could adapt, but he definitely, I don't believe he's done it before.
Yeah, so, I don't know, man. It's nerve-wracking. It's exciting. We'll see what happens. I kind of like this part of the year because, you know, you don't know how the next 3 months are going to play out. But when the league starts in almost 10 weeks, you know, we have 10 more Mondays until we get to watch AC Milan again.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to put it, 10 more Mondays. Well, no, it'll be less, right? Because the preseason games, I mean, obviously those are less crucial, less important than league play, but I'm trying to think here. The Tuesday, July 23rd is our next game against Bayern Munich. That is about a month away. So about 4 weeks from now, we'll get the boys back. Wow, 4 weeks. That's exciting because I was getting worried, to be honest. I've been running out of sports to watch with Champions League ended and football basically over, and then hockey ended, and then basketball just ended. And I'm not a big fan of international football, so I was kind of struggling for something to watch, but I could wait four weeks. I can make it work.
The league starts August 24th.
Yeah. I was just talking about preseason. Sorry.
I know, but I was still talking about actual season. I don't know. When do they release the schedule?
I know the Premier League was already released. Ours should be coming up. We normally do it in August. I know last year we waited till like right before the season started. I think there was something going on where they were looking to redo it, but we should have our schedule
pretty soon.
I would imagine. I think we do it in August, actually. I think it is like a couple weeks before the season starts. I'm not too sure, but I know the Premier League's already got theirs, which is early, in my opinion. But
yeah, man. This time last year, I bought my plane tickets to go to the Merseyside Derby.
No shit, you bought it that early. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then we kind of shot ourselves in the foot because I was like, oh, you know what? Let's change our flight so we can stay for like a week and a half. We can go to Paris and Brussels, you know, because...
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it costs $500 to change? Nope, next time let's wait.
$500 to change? Yeah, no thank you. Yeah, I still haven't. Every season I've been like, okay, this is the game I'm going to go to. And then every season something happens to where I'm like, well, what if I just don't spend the money this time? So I haven't been to an AC Milan Serie A game ever. I've seen them play live. I've been to preseason games, but never in the league. And that's
embarrassing. Yeah, I went to a game in Chicago.
Yeah.
And I was, oh man, I was heckling Montalivo so much, and I had the entire fan section just laughing their ass off. It was so funny.
Well, let's talk about some preseason then, because that is coming up. Since you mentioned seeing them in Chicago, we're going to be first playing Bayern Munich in 36 days, and then we got Benfica, and then we got Manchester United. You and I were talking about going to Boston for one of them, and offhand, I don't know which one is which. I think that's Benfica.
Boston game. Is Benfica, yeah.
Okay.
No, I think, isn't that game first? Or are you literally looking at the schedule right now?
I'm looking at the schedule right now. I just don't have locations, yeah.
And then Kansas City is...
That's right. Kansas City is Bayern Munich. So we're going to Kansas City first, and then Boston, and then it was Wales, right?
Yeah, Cardiff, I think.
Oh, you're right, yeah, Cardiff. Oh, that is.
I think Oliver is thinking about going.
Right. Yeah, Oliver's going to go to that one. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're going to take a break from the pod real quick and just do some you and me planning. I don't know. Are you still trying to go to that? Because I might go.
To Cardiff or to Boston?
No, to Boston. Well, I've never been to Kansas City either, but I don't really care to.
Yeah, dude, I have 6 days of work left that I can miss, and I'm taking two for the 4th of July, and then we're going to be buying a house here soon, so I'm going to be taking time off for that, so not on my schedule.
Not on the schedule. All right. Well, that was the Sempre Maddie's Life part of the podcast.
Next week, we'll talk about how I didn't get our offer accepted on a house.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're all been moving and stuff here, because I moved in May, that was last month. Well, and you're moving soon whenever you get this house. And then Ollie's never going to leave his parents' basement. I'm just kidding.
but it's so anyways, true.
Back to Milan, you know, the focus of this podcast here. What else do we have to discuss, really? I mean, that was all the...
Who's leaving?
So offhand that we know for a fact, we have Montalivo, Bertolacci, Mauri, and Bakayoko gone. People that we think are on the way out. Suso is a good one to sell, in my opinion. Castillejo, a good one to sell. Obviously, Conte's staying. We reported that. Well, he might. I don't know. It's Gazzetta dello Sport. So they're good, but sometimes they just kind of make shit up, as all sources do. So Conte might be leaving. I would like to see him go, but maybe not. And then there was someone else who was linked with the move away. Who was it? Andre Silva. He may not come back, but he may stage. And Paulo supposedly likes him. Would you rather? Well, we've talked about that. We all know that I want Andre Silva to play. Who do you think is going to leave?
Oh, man, I don't know. I wasn't expecting you to turn around and ask me. I'm just kidding. I think that Castillejo is going to leave. I think that Strinic is going to leave. I think we're going to re-sign Zapata to his contract, because it'd be stupid not to.
Oh, I think we actually announced he was leaving. I thought we were just going to release him, weren't we?
He hasn't. We have until June 30th.
Okay.
Who else is leaving? Bombshell, Patrick Cutrone is going to leave for Sensi. They're going to do a swap.
I have seen that mentioned a couple times. I think that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, well, nothing surprises me with this team anymore when you sell Zlatan and Thiago Silva for $60 million.
That's true. Would you take Thiago Silva back if he gets released this summer? Which no. The only reason I mention that is because there's rumors circulating that he will be, or that he might be, if they get De Ligt. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Maybe. I might take him back. He'd be good depth. Honestly, he'd be great with Romagnoli.
Yeah, I think he'd be a great person. Sorry, I just got sidetracked there for a second, but I think he would be great with Roman. He'd be a great person to learn from. Like you said, good depth, and I think he could start too. And then we could slowly filter Caldara back in if he's healthy and performing, you know?
Yep.
That's something that we don't know how he's going to return. He's been out for a whole season. We saw what happened with Conte when he was out for the full season. What if Caldara is not good and we need another defender? I mean, we've been linked with, like, Lovren, Anderson, Mancini, who had a great game in the under-21.
Right.
Was it Euros? Or Yeah, under-21 Euros. Or was it World Cup? I can't remember. It was the under-21 World Cup and the under-20 Euros is what Mancini was in. Or did I mix that up again? I don't know. One of those fucking tournaments. Who cares? He was in that, did pretty solid against Spain. Yes, he did good against Spain there. Caballos had a goal in that, actually. And so Chiesa had two great ones. And Cutrone got an assist on the last one. That's super random and just came to the forefront of my mind there. Sorry. All right. Well, what else do we got here?
Where do you think Gattuso goes?
So I've seen Gattuso linked to a couple places. First one is Fiorentina. Obviously, that's not happening because Montella is their guy, according to Rocco Camiso. Which, sidetrack here, or side note, they announced him in Times Square, which was cool, whatever, you know, American owner. But one of the media pictures was Rocco and Montella at a strip club, and Rocco's like got his arm around Montella, and he's pointing to the stripper's ass, who's just dancing on a pole. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, so I don't know what's going on with Fiorentina, man. That's going to be interesting to see. There, yeah, that's a weird club, but whatever. So Gattuso's not going there. I don't know where he's going to go. Nesta got announced as the Frosinone head coach today, though. That's pretty cool.
I did see that. That was pretty cool. I'm looking for that picture. I can't find it.
Yeah, I'll find it. I'll send it to you later.
I don't want
you to check. But yeah,
that's so funny.
Yeah, it was weird. I'm like, what's going on here? And that was one of their official press pictures. It was. I mean, there was no nudity in it. She had some clothing on, but not a whole lot there. And I don't know. It was just a very weird vibe to that picture there. Who else was there? Was another move? This one is off all of it. It's not even Milan related. It's just about a former Milan player. But I saw Parma is looking to sign Balotelli. Would you be happy to see him back in Serie A?
Yeah, if he plays for AC Milan.
I just want him back, man. I don't care what team gets him, as long as I enter Juve. Just bring my man's home.
You know that if he plays for Parma, he's gonna fucking kill it.
Oh, I sure hope so. I hope he does. I personally wanted him at Brescia or whatever. The newly promoted side that's coming up with Tonelli. They said they wanted Balotelli. I don't think they can afford it, but that would be so cool.
Do you think we're going to sign that kid, Tonelli?
Hope not. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. They want too much money. He's never played in a top flight before. He's a young kid with hype, and that goes one of two ways, very good or very bad. And we can't risk that right now. You know, we've been in the rebuilding phase for half a decade. It's time we build and not continue to say, oh, it's year zero, right. Year zero. We need to be in year two or three by now. We need to be down the road successful. You look at Liverpool, their rebuild, and where they got. Hate the club with a passion, but props to them. They won the Champions League, and we're competing for the title till the final week. We need to be doing that kind of shit, and we're not going to get there if every year we're doing a midfield revolution, we're doing a management change, we're doing an ownership change, you know, we're signing young, hyped players from Serie B. We did that with Lapadula. He had 36 goals from open play in Serie B. He comes through and gets like 8, and 6 of them were penalties with us. I mean, that's not good numbers. So I'm not for it. If we do sign him, it better not be for nearly as much as Brescia's wanting. They're saying like 30 or 40 million for him, just asinine amount. If we get him, it needs to be for less than 20, and we need to loan his ass back out. Send him to Brescia or send him anywhere, but he shouldn't be in our starting lineup.
I absolutely agree.
I don't think he should honestly be in the plans whatsoever. I just... Yeah, I think that's about it for today, though. Unless you have anything else, anything you want to mention?
I had something, but I completely forgot what it was.
I'm trying to think because I feel like there's something also, but I'm not sure. Just interrupt me if you think of it. I'm just going to start closing.
So, go for it.
As always, this episode was brought to you guys by our friends over at Euro Fantasy Sport. Check them out online, on our Twitter page, on our website. Obviously, there's no league play going on right now, but get excited. Get looking at it, see how leagues turned out, see how ours did, and try and enter for next season. You know, start planning your teams now. It's a lot of fun. We're going to have a bunch of new people to play with as far as players, so it'll be exciting to go from there. You could find me on Twitter at Torgard45. I've been your host, and we've been joined by Madison.
Yeah, guys, thanks for listening. Our listeners have gone up a tremendous amount in the past maybe 3 months, and so we are very happy that all of you guys are enjoying our podcast. Any feedback is welcome. You guys can shoot us questions all throughout the week. Just, you know, follow us on Twitter. Send us messages, tweet at us. You know, we're pretty nice guys. Oliver's not, but that's besides the point. You guys can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Madison_DT.
Yeah, and normally we do have a section here where we will tweet out, you know, the day of recording and get a bunch of questions or topics you'd like us to discuss from the listeners here. We didn't do that today, so I apologize for the jumbled all over the place format we did. This one was scrapped together. Like we mentioned earlier, we were supposed to have a guest coming on, and we had to reschedule, so things changed. We didn't plan on recording today, but we're here. We got it done. We had a lot of fun, and can't wait for next week. Thank you guys so much for listening, and until next time.
Abate la rimette dentro, esce Radu, porta vuota. Gol! Gol! Abbiamo battuto il gatto nero! Li abbiamo battuti tutti, Alessio! Grande Alessio! È bella la vita! Lava quella zolla, Alessio! Lava la quella zolla, Alessio!